Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 571. I am Chris, not joined by Tony. He was kidnapped, or so he says.
But Earl is here. We go, Tony.
Earl is here.
I am here. It's the best of us before Thanksgiving is.
Yes. And Jeff is here.
Yeah, I'm here. I did my homework even. We'll just have to wait.
Yeah, we will have to wait. We will do the game show and the alternate, the extra induction into the Hall of Fame when Tony escapes his captors. But in the meantime, we're going to drink some and talk some games, of which, news-wise, it seemed like it was busy, which was, I thought, weird.
Was it?
I mean, there
I
was,
didn't notice.
There was a... There was, we'll get into it. There's a bunch of stuff that happened this week. It's not big, nothing big news, but there was like lots of like little stuff that.
Okay, I will take that. I guess I just mentioned.
Jeff, I want to hear about Cruisin' Blast because we know that you just got it.
Yes. Just got it, and I'm probably halfway through the game.
Oh, okay.
It goes so fast. It's
an arcade game.
Yeah, you know, but the campaign mode or whatever is, you know, it's very Mario Kart. Like, you do cups, and they're, you know, four races each. But, like, the thing is, God, I love this game so far. But, like, the tracks are, first off, like, they're A to B. There's not laps. So it's just like these really creative roller coaster rides that go from start to finish. And I'd say in a cup, 3 out of the 4 tracks are about 2 minutes in length. And one of them will be under a minute in length. Like, some of them are really short.
Okay.
So yeah, that's how I'm getting through it. Pretty fast, but
I'm assuming you like unlock new cars and
new cars. Actually, skins. There's more to that. Yeah, there's more to that than I expected. Like, you could, as you play, you earn money, and there's money like, you know, like as pickups throughout the track, and with that money, you could actually buy upgrades. Like, you earn upgrades leveling your car up, so like racing with that car more, and then you have to buy that upgrade to unlock it for real. The only one I've bought so far was it's just called Neon, and just gave like neon highlights to my car. Like,
okay.
Also real cars, which I didn't realize. Really? Yeah. I don't know if Cruisin' has always been that way. I don't think so. Has it? I don't know.
I don't remember. Like, I thought Daytona had like real cars, but that's a different game.
Those old arcade racers, I never even paid attention. It would always be like, yeah, that looks like a Corvette, but I didn't, you know.
Right, you didn't realize it was a Corvette.
Like, here in the menus, it's like, this is a Nissan whatever, this is a Corvette Stingray, and so that was a cool surprise. But boy, oh boy, like, first off, I'm going to declare it right now, this is the year of the racer, because so many awesome racing games. And the three big ones I'm thinking of couldn't be more different. Like, they're all extremely different. Like, this, it's almost like I should be feeling like racing overload right now with all the racing games I have. But, you know, such a far cry from,
no pun.
Yeah. This is so far from what, like, Forza Horizon 5 is, even though that's sort of an arcade racer. It just feels like a different beast, you know. It's like a totally different experience, different game.
It's going for a different vibe too, clearly, with its like cup style racing and short races. Know,
and if you guys have seen footage of it, you know that like it's very bright and colorful and insane shit going on constantly. Like,
you can drive a unicorn.
Oh yeah, that I haven't done that yet.
You could drive a dinosaur.
Oh, I did not know that. I'm in on this.
But, like, in one level alone, there was tornadoes. There was, like, an earthquake where, like, the fucking earth split in half. And, you, like, you know, you jump over the fault.
Like mid race. Else.
Yeah, dude.
Kind of like it's split second type.
Dude, oh yeah. That game. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Nice.
Yeah, it's just like constantly stuff like that. Like you just doing these insane hundreds of foot drops, like, you know, jumps off of cliffs, and you know what it, in, not in any specific way, but like the vibe I've got from it, it reminds me, like, I haven't had this much fun, like, just initial and like fun and being impressed by a racer of this type since like Excite Bots, like, just the wackiness of
it. Yeah, the vibe I got from it is very like bots. Not even trucks, but bots, because it's like really stupid, over the top environments, different types of vehicles, and a really bad but good butt rock title track.
Yeah, that's this one has a good one. I was already going cruising. Yeah, dude, this is awesome, and it's on sale for $25 for the next couple days on the eShop.
So, and it's $25, I think, at Best Buy and GameStop as well, if you want the physical version.
Yeah, if you want the physical. I really wanted this digital because it's such a short burst of... And it's also one of those ones that I'm going to try to get people to play instead of Mario Kart. And so it's like,
I think
you don't want to have to go, oh, let me swap out, you know.
I was going to say, the big hurdle with that, which is one of the reasons I would... I do own it. I haven't opened it yet because I did get it physical. Now I'm picking myself. Is that it doesn't have online, which I still think is such a big missed opportunity.
I was literally about, like, I was like, this is so much fun. I want my girlfriend and I want her kid to play it. And I almost was going to buy copies for both of them so we could all play. And then I looked up and it's like, 4-player split screen. That's it. So
you can play together, but they need to all be with you, Jack.
Yeah. You can do local play across switches, so if my girlfriend bought the game...
Your fiancé.
My fiancé bought the game...
That might work a little better, yeah.
You know, she could play it in her room or, you know, in our bedroom, and I could play it in the living room, and, you know, so you can do it like that, like on separate switches and separate TVs, but you just can't do online.
Nice.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm imagining this game is going to take me like an hour or two to beat... But, you know, in a way, that's, like, kind of how Mario Kart is, if you're good at it. Like, I mean, it says it has, like, 30 tracks, so it's not, like, nothing. And it's just the tracks, although very scripted, and I'm sure the more you play them, it's, like, first time I'm playing these tracks, you just hear me, I'm like, wow, whoa, like, you know, the 10th time I see that tornado, like, tear up a town or whatever, it's probably not going to be that exciting, especially with how scripted it is, but it's very fun. Like, it's just very, like, if you want a 90s arcade racer that, you know, looks more modern and yeah, this is it. It's very fucking cool. I'm very happy about it.
Nice. It is on my list for this to get this weekend, so
hell yeah. I would say we should play, but
I want it physical because I like that. It's like the only physical media I buy are Switch cards.
Yeah.
But,
Can lick them?
What was that? Yeah, so I can lick them. Yeah, so I like the taste. I don't know if I'm going to get it for Best Buy or GameStop. I was hoping Amazon, like, price matches.
Price matched it.
Because I don't want to pay for shipping, and I couldn't pick it up at either of... I couldn't pick it up at any of... I have, like, 4 GameStops. None of them had pickup available. And Best Buy was like, you can pick it up like in December. It's like,
I don't know. You don't buy a lot of, Blu-rays, do you, Chris?
No.
Earl?
Yes, I do, sadly enough.
You don't open Blu-rays. Them, do you, though, Earl?
You know what? We don't have to call me out here.
Blu-rays these days, you don't get them when they come out. They just show up whenever,
whenever they finally decide to ship them.
Yeah, it's just that whole supply chain thing. It's yeah, like the Blu-ray business big time.
That's really awful for because I collect vinyls, and that's also an industry that is seeing a lot of delays due to that. And it's one of those ones which, you know, capitalism is so great, where because of that, like, the people who, like, a lot of the delays at the end of the year were because that Adele's company got them to print all of hers. So all the smaller companies had to push their stuff into 2022.
You know what is really kind of irks me about it, though, is that the influencers somehow get their copies before they come out, and yet, meanwhile,
oh, yeah, cause that's all given to the, like, that's all given to the marketing teams beforehand, so they make sure that they get out there by FedEx or UPS or even the regular mail. But then all the rest of our shit is coming in bulk to stores. And
it just kind of pisses me off. Like, I'll just as one specific example, there is a 4K UHD that just came out of Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the one from the 70s. I pre-ordered that the day it was available for pre-order on Amazon, and now Amazon's like, we have absolutely no idea when you're going to get this. Do you still want it? It's like, yeah, dude. Well, yeah, obviously I want it. That's why I fucking pre-ordered it. Like, what the fuck, dude? And I just, you know, they'll show up eventually, but...
It's annoying, especially because, like, sometimes you, like, Amazon doesn't charge you right away. They'll charge you when they ship it, but sometimes you kind of, like, budget your money based around that, and it's like, and then they fuck it all up.
I don't know. It's just been an annoying thing this year with, it seems like every Blu-ray release, every, like, 4K at least has been that way. And even sometimes stuff that's been out, so a lot of stuff is on sale now, so I picked up that movie Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, but what's his name? Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah.
For $10, and it's like arriving December 17th.
arriving the week before Christmas. Great.
Like, it's not like I'm not, you know, I've seen it and whatever, you know, but it's just like, it's just, anyways, not to go on a little tangent / rant about that, but.
But I was going to say the positive with that is you get a date. Like, something I ordered just got delayed into 2022. And it's just like, okay, what am I supposed to do with this information? Because, like, I mean, it was for me, so it's not a big deal. But I'm like, I've been trying to, because, I mean, it's something that people have talked about for a while. And I've been trying to, like, get ahead of it by, like, getting people's Christmas gifts ahead of time. But it's just, like, so much you can pre-plan.
The only one that pissed me off was the Halloween 4Ks, especially because those showed up in Best Buy, like, the week before they were even supposed to come out. And then people that pre-ordered it had to wait, like, over a week. And it's just like, okay, why the fuck did it, you know, why did you take care of the retailers where it's walk-in business versus your, like, existing customers that ordered it right through your company? Like, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, and some of them, like, does Screen Factory charge you up front?
So yeah, like, Screen Factory does, yeah, so I think.
They've already taken your money, too.
Yeah. I was so mad. I was like sending angry emails to them.
I am gonna get Cruise in. We'll see. Just I'm holding out for Friday. See, hopefully it shows up on Amazon.
If you do decide to download it, it's actually a bigger file than I expected. It's like almost 4 gigs. I had to actually finally. Because I don't have a huge card in my Switch. I think it's like 128 gig. It's amazing how fast that fills up. But I finally had to archive. A little tear came out of my eye. I had to archive Smash Bros. It's easily the biggest file on my Switch, and I like don't play it enough. So I was like, bye-bye, Smash Bros.
Goodbye, Smash Bros. It's time. It's, what, four years old now? 3 years old?
Yeah, but it's, you know... It's theoretically an evergreen type of game, but it just doesn't get to play. No one ever asks to play it here.
Understandable. All right. Well, Earl, you did not stop playing Halo multiplayer like Jeff did.
I did not stop playing Halo multiplayer like Jeff did, but I have a new thing to complain about this week.
Yeah. It's always something new.
I assume it's the same thing you're going to complain about.
Yeah, they started an event.
Yes. Fundamentally, game is fun. ton of.
Yeah.
I will say the one thing I realized really quickly, though, is that it was a thing noticeable, I think, with Big Team Battle, but I think it's also noticeable this week. There is not a ton of levels.
No, there are 10 total, 7 in regular 4v4, and 3 in Big Team Battle. And the 3 in Big Team Battle all look exactly the same.
Yes. And the normal ones are okay, but again, you kind of like, you realize very quickly that you rotate through some of them rather often.
Yep.
So
it's, Training Ground. Again,
yes. Oh, whichever one is, and I, it's like the city one, with this. I think it's the streets or something like that.
The with the neon, like
yeah, darker.
Yeah. I don't know what it's called, but yeah.
Yes, So I mean that happens. Not a big deal.
I swear, I've only seen like 4 or 5 of the maps. it's always Training Ground. Bizarre, the big, it looks kind of like the Big Team Battle ones. That's like a big arena with the Forerunner things in the middle, and then the city one. Not sure if I've seen the other three yet.
I feel like I have not seen, what do you say, 7 maps are in the...
There's 7 in the 4v4, yeah.
Yeah, I... You know, maybe a lot of Halo levels do look similar, but it's just, yeah, I don't feel like I've seen that many. I don't know.
But yes, sorry. Yeah. The complaint isn't about the maps.
No.
It's about the event just kind of being, well, just another way that they really have not figured out this battle pass. So it now.
No,
we committed that last week. They didn't fix it last week, and they made it even more tedious this week because they have an event, which is, you know, not uncommon. Like, again, I think the comparison will always be, I play a ton of Fortnite, so that will always be my comparison. Fortnite does events and stuff like that, so it happens, but usually those events are not separate from the actual core game. It's just like, it is a weekly event. You can do it while also doing your other daily challenges or ignore it. Where this mixes your weeklies with your special challenges.
Yeah.
So, like, I was confused because I did the 2 challenges today, which I had, which were, I think it was like win a game in Fiesta and play 2 games in Fiesta easy enough. I figured it would be like the weekies where you start off with something and then as you beat them, you get new ones. Half true. You do beat them, get new ones. It does not mean that the new ones you get are actually related to the challenge because it's all one giant pool, which means that the ones that I beat were just replaced by normal wiki challenges and did not go towards the challenge. And that there's no guarantee that if I beat a wiki challenge that it would become a challenge, a special event challenge.
So it seems, so there is a listing that if you check your weeklies, and then you press Y, it'll bring up the list of upcoming challenges. Those do deliver in order, so you can see when you'll get your next one for the event, but it's still not good.
Yes, and I feel like, and this is very cynical of me, I feel like this is very much why, like, I think the second thing you get in the game, in that challenge, is a challenge changer.
Yep. Yeah, you get a challenge swap. Second thing in the event pass is a challenge swap.
So yes, that is great.
I don't mind how the event pass works, like where if you complete a challenge, you complete one of the event challenges, you automatically get that level in the challenge pass. But the whole thing is very weird because there looks like there's only about 6 or 7 event challenges that you'll get this week.
And then it just rotates between them?
No. Like, then you're done. You cannot finish the event pass this week.
Oh.
So okay, it'll happen over six. It'll be 6 weeks, but it like won't appear again until December.
So this isn't a week.
It is a week, but then it goes away, and then it'll come back sometime in December, and then it'll go away, and come back in January, and go away, and it'll do that like six times over the course of the season. So it's like the event is like 6 weeks long, but it is spread out over like 5 or 6 months. It's very weird. It already has people angry because they, you know, they can't grind the pass because you'll actually run out of challenges. So at best, you can only get to like level 6 or 7, however many challenges there are. And then you have to wait till it returns.
So does that also mean that, like, what am I trying to say? Like, if you wanted to, I don't even know. Like, so, like, yeah, like, if you miss it, does that mean that you are kind of asked out?
No, because if it's 6 or 7 over 6 weeks, and there's only 30 levels to the pass, you should be able to miss a week and still get it.
It still kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Instead of, because I mean, I guess the other thing is like they said it's like you don't miss out on anything, right?
Yeah. So they haven't clarified what that means, but speculation is that like this will eventually come back again. Like the fractured stuff will show up that you can earn it after the event is over somehow. I don't know. It's very weird. I'm 2 levels away from getting the armor, though, which is pretty much the only thing in there that I care about. I'm never going to wear it, but...
Well, I was going to say, it's also the same issue I have with the actual battle pass, in that, like, so much of it is not worth it.
Yeah.
Like, I forget what the first thing is you get, but the second thing you get is the challenge swap, and then the third thing you get is XP boost. And it's like, okay.
And a lot of the challenge is just that. It's challenge swaps and XP boosts.
Yes.
Get more challenge swaps and XP. Like,
yeah.
What if we just agree to just play the game for fun and then just like not care?
That's fine. Like, I'm playing it because it's fun.
That's what we're saying. Fundamentally, that's why like, we're putting. I think sometimes it gets misconstrued that people complain. Like you complain because like if I didn't care about this game, if it wasn't fun, I would just go about my day, and I'm like I'm having fun, but I'm like fundamentally this is just a really bad system.
Yeah, it's meant to engage with it, and the way you engage with it is just shitty.
Yeah, but like at the same time, you could never do a progression like Call of Duty without changing it. You know, like without changing the core of Halo, like. You know, Halo is everyone starts the same, and you find stuff for sure. You know,
I think
yeah, but I'm not even talking about that. Like,
but it's just like at the end of the day, if it can't be meaningful progression, then what do I really care? Like,
well, no, but again, as somebody who plays Fortnite way too much, I know like you can have a battle pass that's mostly cosmetic and junk, and still like I will carve out 200 devils in Fortnite to get some really rare skin, but like you have to make the other stuff worth it too. And this is where it loses me. It's like because like a lot of this stuff is like we know this is broken, or else why would you have challenge changes and XP boost as part of your reward?
Right, and now it's like because there's only Big Team Battle and Quick Play, and this week Fiesta. You're stuck with whatever comes up. So if you get challenges that are like, I have one this week that'll come up and it's capture 10 flags. One, that's never going to happen. Like capturing 10 flags, that's a lot for any player over the course of the week. Like, so you're kind of stuck with that, and if you don't get capture the flag, you won't ever get it. So you need to have a way to to filter out like these shitty challenges. So I guess that's why they have the dumb swaps. I don't know. It's fun though. Fiesta's great.
What is that?
That's the, you start with a randomized weapon. So like everybody starts with a different weapon.
Oh, that's cool.
And like you don't know what you're gonna get either. So is that like new? You could start with. I mean, no, it's been in other Halos.
Okay.
I was gonna say my one complaint about it is my same complaint that I had last week, is that I don't know the weapons well enough. So like I get random weapons, and like it's the first thing I get to find out is like, do I know how to use this weapon?
The answer is inevitably you do not. Like I got that. There's this thing that looks like a railgun, and that's what I thought it was when I got it. And evidently, it shoots out like napalm and lights the ground on fire.
Oh, I don't even know what that one is.
It's like you could charge it though, and if you hit it full on, like it'll burn them to death. But otherwise, it lays like a napalm puddle out that does damage over time. But like I got it and I didn't know what the hell I was doing with it and accidentally killed myself.
Yeah, those are the ones that confuse me, because there are some weapons, I don't think there are as many in this game so far, that you need to charge up, or like you can be using it more effectively. Like I had a lightning gun and I wasn't really sure what to do with it. I'm still not entirely sure what to do with it.
Oh, is it like a rifle?
Yes.
Yeah, it's just like an energy sniper rifle.
Okay.
That works pretty well. It's like two shots, just like a regular sniper rifle, and they go down. Or one shot to the head.
So I kept on trying to use it. I thought it was like, like electric weapons, I always think of like, are not charge weapons, but I thought of it more like the sentry beam, where it's like, mm-hmm. hold it down.
Yeah, like, you want to hold it on them, yeah.
Yeah, am I doing this wrong? Is it charging up? So I was just using it wrong in general. Yeah.
And I mean, and that like weapon familiarity, map familiarity, will just come with playtime. Like we'll learn as we go along. But yeah, Fiesta is just chaos. So that's Halo. Earl, did you get to try Forza Horizon 5 yet?
I did. I am enjoying it, but I also realized very quickly that I am really bad at racing games. I think Jeff was joking about it earlier, or maybe he wasn't. I'm really bad. I've never known how to really turn in racing games where I'm like, I'm either turning wide or turning way too short. So I was trying to.
It's hard in this game.
I always try the brake method, and it's like sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But I do like that for the most part. I mean, I know it's an open world game to an extent, but I do like that sometimes. Like there was one part that early on in the game, still really early. They, you know, I guess like a challenge, like, okay, go to this like refinery or something like that. And like the route is like you go around this thing and you come across. I'm like, oh, but there's just like a valley I can dip down underneath here. And then drive up the other side. It's like, yeah, you know what? It's going to be really weird. It's going to tell you to turn right for a while, but after a while, it's going to readjust. And I enjoyed that. I honestly, it's weird because I don't usually play racing games like this, but I decided to play the first person view because I thought one is the best way to control it. It's also just a really pretty looking game.
Yeah.
Like I think I mentioned last week that it's, the opening is very, very, very reminiscent of Fast 7 with the out of the airplane. But then you kind of go to you go to a bunch of different environments, and I think one of them is like a jungle environment. And like you see, not pelicans, but yeah, you see a bunch of different creatures and stuff. And I'm like, oh, this is really nifty.
Are you not like a racing person in general, or you think that this, you're not like not used to this game?
Oh, I'm not a racing person in general. Like even Mario Kart, I'm not great at. I just have fun with it. I've always preferred it's very much. I mean, and very much like I preferred Burnout for that reason, because like Burnout, a lot of it was it's racing, but a lot of it is also like, oh, you could just be stupid and like do donuts for half an hour, or like you know, like, oh, we're just gonna try to do near misses for a bit, see how many you can get, or drive on the wrong side of the road, or boost. Then, you know, it just looks cool and makes you feel nice driving. I can never get into like the pure Sims, like Gran Turismo and stuff like that, because, yeah, I can't drive that way. But if you,
this definitely will cater to like that sort of like, I just want to like drive around and have my car do stuff, because like you're always filling up your skill meter. Like, yeah, there's always bars filling up in this game. It may have like dopamine, like how to manipulate dopamine down to a science. Like I mean, a lot of these companies do have that down to a science, but like they are effectively doing it at like every aspect of this game.
And that's on top of just like how visually pleasing it always is. And then you're getting these wheels that are constantly, and these meters that are constantly filling up.
And then when you fill up those meters, then it's like, here, go to the car wheel, and it spins and you get a prize.
Two things, Earl. Speaking of Burnout, Cruisin' has takedowns, so that's pretty cool.
Nice. And again, you don't have to sell me on Cruisin'. I do.
You're gonna love Cruisin'. It's Cruisin', like, that's way more like what I really like.
Yeah, Cruisin',
it's very easy.
I have Excite Bot and Excite Truck.
Yeah,
I think partially like because like they're not like that. I don't want to say they're a different type of skill, I should say.
I would buy a re-release of Excite Bots. No joke.
Yeah, I had that Nintendo gave up on that franchise.
But as for the turns in Forza Horizon, like, I think that's kind of the hardest part of Forza Horizon. I think that's like, I don't know, 70% of the race in this is like the turns. And there's a few different ways you could brake. Sometimes you have to if it's a very sharp turn. And Chris, let me know if you agree with any of this. Sometimes you have to brake if it's a very sharp turn. Sometimes you know how there's that line on the road, like showing you like the path to take. Like, when it's red as you're approaching a turn, if you just like let off the gas enough until you see it turn green or blue, then you could just kind of hit the gas again and then you'll make the turn. Like, that line is letting you know.
Yeah, it goes like yellow, green, blue, yellow, red, blue. Yellow is like, hey, like you're approaching the threshold for being out of control coming out of this turn. Red is like, you ain't slowing down. You're gonna hit a wall, go off course, and blue is, hey, you got this. Just
so turn gradually. If you left the gas and you see it turn to like, you know, one of the better colors, then you could kind of not gun it, but whatever, like, drive through the turn. Or my favorite thing is if you're behind the pack, you hope that a bunch of cars are right there as cushion.
Yep.
to get into the turn.
Slam the brakes, hit the turn, use them as a bumper, and then accelerate away from them.
I would say, though, like, you know, this game kind of straddles the line between sim and arcade racer. Like, especially, like, you have something like Cruisin' Blast that's all the way on the arcade racer side. It's like, you literally have bumpers. Like, you can't fall off the track in that game, I don't think. And then this is, like, it's kind of in the middle. It's a little more technical. You know, it feels like
your driving. At its core, it's still a Forza game, right? Like, so it has all the cars are, like, technically, like, where they need to be sim-wise, but Horizon has so many, like, modifiers that you don't have to play it like that.
Yeah.
You could probably turn it. Yeah.
You could probably turn it the other way, though, and make it more sim.
You can totally tune your car. You can up all the difficulties. You can make it so that, you know, like, if you were to do that where you slam into a car, like, technically, that's, like, bad racing. You can make it so that the damage actually affects your car. So it's not just visible, like, where if you slam into the car, like, it may mess up, you know, your left wheel because your bumper is now hitting it. Your axle shifted, so now you have to, like, oversteer to control. You can mess up your tires. You can mess up your engine. You can go completely the opposite way, right? Like, and make it insanely sim-like, but the base level is kind of arcadey, but just enough technical.
And I accept the default settings on Forza Horizon, and I actually don't tune my cars at all. Like, I don't know anything. One, I don't know anything really about cars, so I wouldn't know what I was doing.
No, you'll just mess it up. Like, trust me, like, I know nothing about tuning cars, but, like, I do play sim racers, and I've tried to tune a car, and I've made it literally undrivable where the car will not move.
Yeah, it's like, I'm just always focused on, I imagine that costs money, and I'm using my money to get new cars and stuff, so.
Yep.
But it's all in there. It's kind of what's really awesome about it too. It's like all in there for no matter what you really want to do. It's never gonna be. It's never gonna feel like burnout or cruising. But it's a nice, happy medium to me, and it's just a beautiful game. And like you were saying, Chris, like that constant like hamster wheel that you're on, where it's just like, yeah, cool, thank you. It's like constantly giving you stuff.
Or, so I got really wrapped up this week and just drive, like, so every road you drive, like, fills up another meter.
Yeah, you guys are nuts, like, with the, trying to top your friends on that stuff. I wish they brought the friend, like, I would do that for races, and for whatever reason, they don't show.
Yeah, it's weird, and I do wonder if that is because you can take any of the 500-plus cars into any of those races, so like me, and then you could tune them in any way, right? So you can take like I drive a Mitsubishi Lancer for most of the game, but a stock one, like I haven't added turbo to it or you know spoilers or new wheels or anything. Yeah. I haven't done any of that, so it's just a stock B race car. And then like you know Tony could be driving the same car, but he's upgraded it to an S car, and you know Walt could be driving like a fucking Dodge Ram that's a C class. Like it's all over the place.
Driving a Lamborghini,
event. And so like I guess like it's hard where in like a game like Tony Hawk or SSX where it's like you can compare because everybody's using the same thing. I do wonder if that's why.
I wish, you know what, they should, I hate to say this, but they should restrict you to the recommended group that they give you.
I agree,
As your, your garage grows or whatever, like, you will have, for any event, at least, like, I have, like, 50 cars right now. Most events will be, like, give me, like, I don't know, 8 cars that are recommended for it.
Yep.
I guess you said you could basically choose any car, right? For any
event. There's very little restriction on what you can choose.
And the game will adjust, you know, if you pick a faster car, like the other cars that are going to be in the event with you will be faster cars.
Mm-hmm.
Which that end is smart. But I just kind of, I can see it from both sides, but I just feel like with racing games, a lot of the fun is seeing what your friends are doing.
Right, you want to chase their time.
Yeah,
so like, that was what was so much fun about Hot Pursuit when we were playing that, where you know go back and forth. Like you got a score here, oh, I beat that score. Sean beat both of our scores. Then you beat Sean's score. Like you can go back and forth with that. Here it's like, okay, well you all did that race. That's cool.
That was especially the first time that game came out. That was a big part of that. The biggest game for me ever with that was SSX, like the modern SSX. Like, good lord, I was just battling the people that were playing that. Like, I would just obsess.
Guess
and that's fun. Like, that's you know, I wish this kind of had that, but it doesn't.
The one place it does is
how many roads you
found. Well, there's that, but there's that, but there's also the there's the speed zones.
I just don't.
And the cameras, like the camera stuff, they all have leaderboards attached to them. So it's like, how fast can you run this speed zone? What's the top speed you can hit in this speed trap? What's your drift score in this drift zone? But it's not the same as like, hey, like what time did you run on like this event?
You guys seem to be getting into that more than me. Like my buddy Kreider, Like, I noticed the other day, it's like, I like went through one of those billboards or whatever, and it's like he had like triple what I had. I'm like, so you're literally just driving through the game doing this while I'm out here doing races.
Yeah, you're
and
doing
shit.
races. Like, I stopped doing that. Like, I've gotten all the roads now, and I think I'm at like 160 billboards, so.
Yeah, and to me, it's like that stuff is like a fun thing that you should happen upon as you're going from place to place. Not, I'm just not gonna take the time out to do that. Like, I'm like, I know I'll discover all the roads by playing the game enough, you know? And it's just like, I don't know. To me, that's not, it doesn't replace being able to compare your
Oh,
performance
sure.
to
No,
others. But,
it's
yeah.
not the same.
But, I mean, it's probably one of the only bad things I would say about the game. It's going to be very high on my list this year.
I have a feeling it will be up on mine as well.
Yeah, but maybe below something.
We'll see. I mean, it'll probably be below a bunch of things, but I'm really enjoying it, and I am glad that like Earl has tried it now, Tony's
Yeah.
tried it. Like, people that generally don't play these games are now getting a chance to try them and seeing, hey, like, this actually is good. Like, might not be Earl's cup of tea, but he's finding some fun in it.
You put out a thing saying that, like, what should, what are like three games everyone should play before the end of the year or whatever. I wish I could force y'all to play Axiom Verge 2. That's the one for me. Like, because it sucks trying to argue for a game that no one else played.
Oh,
You're just
sure,
like,
yes. I just wanted to see where people were, like,
yeah.
maybe not just us, but like other people, what they were thinking of for Game of the Year.
I'm sure a lot of people are thinking of one that I don't think any of us played. I can't, it's now it just slipped my mind what it is.
I mean, Deathloop came up a couple times.
Deathloop, yeah, that's a big one. It's like there's a few games that like I don't think any of us have played that people are considering.
Yeah, and like Deathloop is like for all intents and purposes, like, to me, that's a next year game.
Yeah.
Because it'll come out on Xbox next year and it'll be on Game Pass, and I'll play it there. I
Cool,
prefer to play
cool,
stuff
cool.
on Xbox, and
I did not know that that was happening.
I mean,
And they're owned by
yeah, that's
Microsoft
right.
now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was a year of exclusivity. So,
So when did it come out?
September?
So yeah, it'll be a while, but we'll
Yeah,
play it.
it's not anytime soon. It's not.
I couldn't imagine that getting my game of the year either way, though,
Also,
just knowing me.
the other thing for me with that is it is semi roguelike, and
Yeah.
that's not like I don't love those games.
And honestly, the roguelike that looks more interesting to me is Returnal, which I don't know if that was this year. I think it was this
It
year,
was
wasn't it?
this year.
That was like the game everyone was like, this game of the year, and no one remembers now.
Think
But that game looks awesome.
Earl, what were the other games? You mentioned something earlier this week. It was like Hitman came out this year, and there was something
Yeah.
else.
I think Verge is probably up there for some people. That
No, it's
came
up there
out.
for me for sure. Like, it's just
I
you have
think.
to like. I was like thinking about it like earlier this week. I'm like. Trying, it's been so long, but like remembering my reaction to Village was like that game was amazing. It was really good, you know what I mean? So
And I think we've done this in the years past, I think, is that we'll use parts of December to kind of go through the year and remember what actually came out. Because sometimes it is very difficult to remember what actually has come out.
Yeah, because like, I think Tony might be the only one that played Hitman 3, but
Played it. I played through it all, and I probably beat some of his scores. And
right.
I don't know, Hitman 3 is good, but it wouldn't be my favorite of the series, so it wouldn't be like a contender for Game of the Year for me.
But I think for me at least, I had forgotten that it didn't even come out this year because it came out
Yeah, I
like the
think it was
second week of
January.
January.
Yeah, it's good. I don't know if it'll even make my top 10 though. There was a lot of like games this year. I don't know, it took a while.
Yeah.
I remember like Pokemon Snap being the first game I really loved, but then like It's stacked
that
up.
That came out this year.
Yeah. But since, you know, that was like April. But like, I'd say since like late summer, it's really stacked up. Didn't seem like a super exciting fall. Oh, you know what the weird thing? I'm going to keep rambling, but weird thing for me is that like, the games I was most excited for ended up just being like, eh. And then stuff that like, I was just like, eh. Like, Forza Horizon 5 ended up being like, this is amazing.
That happened, like, I mean.
Like, I was so stoked for that Super Monkey Ball release, and I think I've played it maybe an hour. You know, I was thinking about buying that on two systems. But I've put maybe an hour into it. There's
so,
another one.
The like one that you told me I should try, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, if you've never played Monkey Ball, like, that's the one.
Yeah.
Same thing with the new Mario Party. It's like you have the best Monkey Ball and the best Mario Party to play right now. Should pick them up while they're on sale.
Mario Golf came out this year.
I have not forgotten Mario Golf, and you'll be surprised how high Mario Golf is on my list.
Oh, I don't think
I
don't
like
think
it a lot.
I don't think we'll be surprised.
I was also going to say, surprisingly enough, Nintendo has not forgotten Mario Golf, which actually got an update this week.
Another one?
The final one, I think they said.
Really?
Yeah, it added two new characters, two new courses, and two new modes.
Shut up, two new... So now that would put them at like 11 courses.
That seems pretty good.
We're gonna be playing it. Like me, my girlfriend, and my friend, like we all really enjoy that game. And every time they've done a new content thing, it's like, let's go. I just somehow missed the news on it. That is exciting.
To be fair, it was like, yeah, I don't even know if they announced it. I mean, they probably announced it beforehand, but it just came out today. Somebody like, I don't have the game, but somebody, you know, for some reason I have a reputation for like Nintendo stuff. So somebody sent me that information. But yeah, they said final free update, so I don't know if that means it's the end of the road, or if they'll do another, you know, like...
Like a paid course or something.
Yeah.
I think it is a really, like, the fundamentals of golf in it are really fun and approachable, and I would totally buy content for it, too. But just... You know what they've put out now for the by the end of the year for free. The big complaints at release have kind of been addressed. You know, it took about 6 months, but the complaint was not enough courses, which it wasn't at first. But
some, like, I'm looking at the list of games that I played this year, and it's like I had forgotten some of this stuff came out, like Cyber Shadow, The Medium. Little Nightmares 2.
Was the Medium this year?
Yep, that was in February.
Oh, wow. These systems have only been out for... Yeah, that is correct. Because that was like one of the big Xbox... I don't want to say big, but it was like one of the, like, here's an Xbox exclusive at the start of the year.
Yeah. Super Mario 3D World, Bowser's Fury.
Like, I remember that one, but that's always difficult. I mean, Bowser's Fury, I think, would be up there, but yeah. It is, like, it's additional content for a re-release game.
Yep.
I count Bowser's Fury as a game.
It's a short game. It's fun. Outriders. I mean, that Earl, you played that more recently. I played it at launch. Like, I'd kind of forgotten a little bit about it.
Yeah, I will have to go through. I think that will make it on my list. It will see. It's that or the Ascent, where I think they would both be there for different, they might be there if, you know, I can't think of 10, but no, I could say Halo's definitely on there now. Dread, which I don't think you two have the same affection for.
I will say this, I personally dislike Dread, but I think it might be on my top 10 just because I'm being hard on the one I love, you know what I mean? Like, it's, at the same time, it's like, I gotta respect it. Like, it's not, there's nothing actually wrong with the design or the graphics or anything in that game. It's just not my favorite one of those games.
Doesn't rub you the right way.
Like, it's one that I think a lot of people will have as their game of the year. Sure. I really do.
Yeah, I can understand it. It likely doesn't make my list, but I understand why people would like it.
Yeah.
Same with Psychonauts 2. Like, I get why people like it. It just doesn't work for me. I've tried
that. That won't be on my list.
That was one that came up multiple times.
That one I like dislike, but there's no love lost. You know, like I disliked Metroid, but I'm like, I still love you. Like Psychonauts is like, I never liked it in the first place, and I'm coming in with a chip on my shoulder, and that game did nothing to remove the chip from my shoulder. It just, by a certain point in that game, I'm like, okay, fuck you, I hate you. I'm not playing it anymore.
Yeah, so we have some stuff to kind of look over. I have a top 10, yeah. So.
Yeah,
and then there's big indie games like crap, what was the name of that one? Not Hades, it was the one I told you, Curse of the New Gods or something like that.
Oh yeah, Jeff liked that one too.
Yeah.
You liked it more than Hades, right, Jeff?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, I've played Hades very little, but yeah. It just, because just, you know, Curse of the New Gods looks like Diablo or something. I really dig that aesthetic. Like,
oh yeah, that's not gonna be my ace, but that reminds me that Torchlight 3 did come out this year. I think it came out this year.
No, I bought it. No, I think Torchlight 3 was last year.
Last year? Okay.
Also, I think it's broken.
Oh, it is very much broken.
My girlfriend and my friend who I play Diablo with, I talked them into buying a Torchlight 3, and we never ever played it.
Yeah, I started Torchlight 3 with I think two different groups of friends. And we were just like, oh, this is a lot buggier than Torchlight 2, so we stopped paying for all this stuff.
Yeah,
like I think I mentioned before, like how me and my friends have had quite a year with games being broken, with Ascent, Outriders, and I think Torchlight was the one we paid in between Outriders and the Ascent, and we were just like, this is too buggy for us, because it was so buggy that they would do patches. And the patches would then break the game. So.
But, yeah, lots of stuff to play. So. Let's see. Was there anything else here? Chicory is one that came up a couple times. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Which I do want to play, but. Like, it's like one of those games. It's on sale right now, but it's on sale physically, and I want it digitally.
Also, I have a hard time believing that as an actual Game of the Year contender, but maybe it's because I don't know anything about the game, really.
I'm going to be honest with you. Part of it, I mean, I'm sure it's a fine game, so it's a well-done MCU game, so people are just kind of giving it brownie points for that.
Yeah.
Probably a bad mentality to have on my behalf. But
I like that mentality.
A lot of people are saying like it's the writing and stuff, and not necessarily the gameplay.
And I could definitely, like, based on what I've only played the first level, and based on what I played, I'm like, the gameplay is fine, but it's probably going to be the story and the characterization and those interactions as opposed to the gameplay, which is pretty generic-y shooter. It's like kind of Mass Effect-y, where you can tell your partners to do stuff. So, I'm be interested to hear what you have to say about it, Earl, when you finally get to try it.
I might crack, because I mean, again, like as much as I want it digitally, $25 is a good deal.
Yeah.
I don't even know if people still have $25. That's the beauty of Black Friday being appearing every day but Black Friday. Like a lot of Nintendo first party, I don't want to say a lot, but a good number of Nintendo first party titles are on sale for $26. And it's so funny how rare Nintendo games go on sale that I think Kotaku and other websites had articles about, like, oh my gosh, they're actually cheap games this year. But again, that all went up over the weekend, which is way before Black Friday. I mean, we're recording this on Wednesday.
Yeah, like a lot of this stuff is already out there.
Or sold out.
Yeah, or sold out already. Like, it's ridiculous.
Like, I mean, a game that was out this year that none of us played, and I don't think it would matter. But Monster Hunter Rise is $25 at Walmart, and I wanted to pick it up. I was hoping somebody would price match it digitally.
I played that shit. I forgot to add that to my list.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, it's not been like the best year, but it's been a busy year.
I think, I don't know. Yeah, there hasn't been like that one game that's like super mind blowing, but like is a year that a lot of things that I'm like into came out and stuff. So I've been pretty happy overall with this year, actually. It's just not that one game, you know, that's like, oh, holy shit, this is like really pushing shit forward. It's just been like, here's a bunch of shit Jeff likes, new versions of that. Like,
you've been waiting for this year, Jeff. Every year you're like, that's finally going to be it. The games were for me. And
they mostly were. Yeah.
You know what this is? It's a really weird comparison, but this feels like the third year of a console. Where a console is kind of like it's hit a stride, you kind of know people know what to give out of it, so you get a lot of like, not I don't want to say safe games, but you get a lot of like sequels and like iterative things from like launch window titles. It's just that you're not accustomed to seeing that usually during the first year of systems, but it's not been anything like, I mean, I guess you've had. Like, sometimes I think people confuse new IPs with new ideas, because like, I was going to say you had Returnal, but from what I understand, Returnal is just like a really fancy 3D roguelike. I'm sure somebody's going to hear me say that and get really mad, so send your hate to Chris.
Sure.
and stuff like that. But yeah, it's like, I mean, yes, I'm excited by you know, I am enjoying Halo Infinite. Forza Horizon is a good time. But those aren't like groundbreaking, like we couldn't have done this on the Xbox Series X title. Ratchet and Clank, Returnal. You know
what? It's not even like that's what I was saying, but also I was just thinking, it's like honestly I just feel like the only thing we're really missing from the mix is that big RPG that everyone loves. Like you know, if the new Elder Scrolls or the Elden Ring dropped this year, then you have a really well-rounded year with like a lot of great shit, I think.
And like the big RPG that I see being recommended is like Tales of Arise,
which
isn't going to appeal to everybody, like, because it's a JRPG. Yeah. It's very JRPG.
Yeah.
So like that's not going to appeal. And that's not the Elder Scrolls, the Fallout, the you know, it's not the big one that kind of appeals to everybody.
Couple months though.
Yep, next year should be big for that, right? You had Elden Ring early in the year, and then if all goes according to plan, Starfield at the end of it.
So Elden Ring, and yeah.
So, you guys play anything else before we jump into the news here?
I have some stuff, but I'm okay. Go on.
I beat Diablo 2.
Congratulations on
defeating
the Lord of Evil 2.
Yeah. Old game, obviously, but I loved it a lot. I do think that Act 4 was the better ending. I thought Act 5, which is the DLC or whatever that came out, the Lord of Destruction, was super annoying. It was like hitting your head against the wall really hard. Needed help.
Yeah, and I think like it's weird because they present them all together, right? So it's
not it doesn't you would never know that it was DLC,
right? So like in when it originally released, like when I played Diablo 2 when it came out, like I played acts 1 through 4 and then eventually added on the extra act, like as you know, the expansion. And yeah, I do remember it being kind of a pain in the ass.
And, you know, I was only like around a level 30 character going into it. Very, very, like, impossible. Just running out of everything. Running out of potions. Running out of, you know, the town portal scrolls. And just really impossible. Like, there was even, like, just little mini bosses or even, like, just enemies wandering around. There's something called like a Frozenstein that would like freeze you, so you're walking slow, and they would hit you with something that would drain all your mana. like instantly, and I relied on my mana, so it was just like, okay, I guess I'm not doing this on my own. Unless I want to, like, I don't know, I'd have to do something to, like, level up a bunch.
Go and grind and do levels so you can get ranked up, yeah.
So, but yeah, overall, really, really great game. But yeah, Act 5, I was just like, yeah. I could see, like, it was four people that had put a lot into the game already. So, but yeah, loved it overall.
Nice. Now you can go kill Diablo in Diablo 3.
Well, I've already done that at all, but I'm available for help now, people. On the Switch and the Xbox.
Nice. We know people that have just started it, so.
Yeah.
Is it crossplay? Can you play with somebody playing on PC or like Xbox to Switch or something like that?
No, but you can, you know, if you own it in multiple places, your character carries
over. Yeah. So you likely can't help Sean because he's playing on PC.
Yeah, I can't. Get it on Xbox, Sean. You fucked up.
I think he might be getting it on Switch as well, so.
Do it. I'll help you out, Sean.
Anything else, Jeff?
No.
Earl?
Well, I was going to say, I have some new games, but I will hold off until next week, hopefully, if I remember. Because, again, like I said, Black Friday starts earlier and earlier every year. So the eShop, the Xbox, and the PlayStation Store sales are up. And I talked about this game last year. Before this all went down, I went to PAX, and I mentioned a bunch of these games I played. One of them I got was Skyracket, which was, I think it's $6.75. And then I got something called Mechastromus or something like that. It looks like a really kind of, it looks like Metal Slug kind of meets a boss rush. But I want to actually put more than like half an hour into each game to give better impressions. Hopefully, if I remember next week.
All right. Well, we look forward to that. Just real, real briefly, been playing some Call of Duty Vanguard. Just the multiplayer so far.
Is there single player in that franchise?
There is. I actually enjoy the single player in Call of Duty. They're just like roller coaster rides, but I always generally have fun with them. Except for the 1 year that was it Black Ops 4 that they didn't release a campaign, and I did not like that one at all
because it didn't exist.
But I didn't like the game. Like I didn't even like the multiplayer. So I generally prefer when it's Modern Warfare or World War II, which this is. Although I did like Advanced Warfare. That one was fun with the mech suits. But yeah, playing Vanguard, World War II. I like it. Like I know that I've seen like a lot of like reviews are like, oh, it's whatever. I think it's one of the better ones they've released recently. I really like the maps. The guns are fun. It's a little weird that they have all these attachments and stuff for these World War II guns that would likely not ever have all these attachments, but who cares? Like it's fun to shoot people with them. They have these that is a game that also like Forza Horizon 5 has the dopamine delivery down pat. Like everything you do in that game earns you credit towards something. Shoot something with your gun has experience. Do something with the character skin you have equipped, that gets you experience and perks when you level up, and just play generally, you get experience, and that'll unlock your new guns and your other perks and your other equipment. And then there's like the battle pass, which also levels up, and eventually like you can earn enough money through that to buy a new one. And they have it down pat. Like, you know, I don't know everything that happens in that game. There's meters filling up and it's fun, but I think the core gameplay is like really good. I think the maps are really good.
Chris Ray does up his meters, huh?
I do like those meters.
Does not
fill up meters. But I'm having fun with it. So playing out with some friends that that's what they wanted to play. And I've held off on getting Battlefield so far, which Tony has been playing. So we'll have a report on Battlefield when Tony returns from his kidnapping.
I mean, if we paid a ransom.
Right. Which I'm not sure. we haven't set up a like one of those buy us a coffee yet, so we might not be able to pay Tony's ransom. All right. There was some news which Earl has forgotten about, and he actually revealed some of this to me. So
I will also just say that I was groggy with the COVID booster for part of this week. So
fair enough.
That is, I very much could have said something. And yesterday and Monday were kind of a blur.
Well, so I mean, it's not really news, but Xbox put out their museum, their interactive museum. Yes. Which I thought was pretty cool. Like, had a lot of good history.
Super cool.
Yeah. The videos and like little news blurbs and a timeline, and then at the end of it, like, you can go and look at your own history with Xbox, and gives you all the dates when was the first time you signed into Xbox Live, what was your first system, what was your first game, what was your first achievement.
Where do you see this?
I sent the link in the DM group, yeah. But it's like museum.xbox.com.
Yes.
Oh, so you can't like click on something on your Xbox. It's like you just gotta go.
No, which is weird because it seems like it's designed for
it's
that.
Totally.
Too.
The picture that you shared in the group, I assumed it was you looking at it on Xbox.
Yeah, it would make a lot more sense because it, like, to Chris's point, it is you control an avatar moving around this 3D space. Essentially, a virtual museum of Xbox history, but also your own personal history with the console. And yeah, it seems like when you say it like that, like, it makes a lot of sense that it should be part of the Xbox OS, at least for the next month or so.
Yeah, maybe it will show up there. I don't know. It's all done through a browser, so. There's some cool stuff in there though, like, and you know, there's not a lot of information, but they do touch on, you know, the Red Ring of Death and the hardware failures in their timeline. They do touch on, they explicitly state that, like, they made this multimedia box and that's not what people wanted, for Xbox One. Like, they call themselves out on it. Like, hey, we messed up here. It was not what the consumer wanted, and we kind of had to go back to the drawing board on that. They do toot their own horn a little bit. Like, they talk about Kinect being the fastest selling electronic hardware device of its time, which was true. It's just a weird thing because it does not have a good legacy.
It's like, okay, and?
Right, like, I thought it was cool. And I enjoyed games like Dance Central and you know, some of the Kinect sports games, but it's not like this long lasting thing. And they do toot their own horn a little bit with that, and including it in the box with the original Xbox One was clearly a mistake on their part. So
they wanted to double down. They thought it was the future.
Yeah. They mentioned that they started this, basically it's like, I think it was called like Xbox Entertainment or Xbox Television or something like that, that was going to make it, you know, they were going to do like those live action things. Yeah. And then they show like a year later, like that division just closed down.
Cause that was part of the pitch for Alan Wake, right?
Wasn't Alan Wake, it was Quantum...
Break, yes, Quantum Break.
Yeah. Because, like, that game had, like, the live-action TV stuff. Lance Riddick and Sean Ashmore were both in that.
Okay. Yeah, and they were also, I think that was where the original idea of the Halo TV show came from.
Yeah.
Which we are eventually getting next year. I think originally they were set to reduce that because it was going to be that, and I think it was also supposed to be a partial streaming service on the Xbox.
Yeah, it was going to be its own TV.
Yeah.
It was going to be its own like TV station on the Xbox. Yeah, it was really weird. But they, you know, they showed their faults. They also, you know, they go a little overboard with praising themselves, and I do think like Xbox has been very innovative in the space. Like at one point, they for the piece on the original Xbox, they kind of mentioned like the reason we did all this is because we thought in 5 years every game would be online, and they were pretty much right. Like,
yes, that's for better and worse at the same time.
Oh yeah, yeah. Some cool videos, cool concepts. They have like some cool dashboard stuff from the original Xbox that wasn't used, so it's like concept stuff. They have really cool concepts of the controllers that they didn't use. Which I think might have actually been a little bit better. A couple of them looked like the Dreamcast controller with like the VMU.
There was some other stuff. I don't know if it came out beforehand, but I think part of the early pre-Xbox stuff, they had like their letter of intent to try to purchase Nintendo.
Yeah, yeah, it's on there. Yep.
And I'm like, oh wow, you folks are just kind of ain't it very. Like, there's no, I guess there's some sugarcoating, but it's like they're not trying to be like, you know, we were saints.
Right. But like there, it's like, hey, we did this stupid thing where we tried to buy Nintendo, and then, you know, 15 years later, it's like, we bought Bethesda. Like, they're not the same, but like, it's like really interesting that you start seeing that they do start acquiring studios and just piling it up. So there's a cool Halo museum, too, like a whole like little walk around of the Halo timeline.
I forget how much it is, but I think there is something like 130 some odd touch points on the site for you to visit, which again is really nifty. It's weird though, because some of it, like you go in front of it and it allows you to go deeper, and then some of it, I don't know how to interact with it.
Yeah, some of them are just like plaques that are like, this is something that happened, or it's just a picture or something.
And I'm like, I want to read more. It's like, nope. I would really recommend it, Jeff, because again, I mean, even aside from that, it's just really great to see your own personal history.
No, it's like the thing I would be most interested in, but
it laid in pandemic gaming on me though.
fuck,
Jesus Christ, dude.
But I saw Fortnite was my most paid game. I'm like, I know exactly why that is. Because I pay almost every day at Unsigned for the past year and a half. So, yes, that adds up really quickly. But, yes, it is. And it's the same thing. I think Nintendo does the annual things at the end of the year. It was the same way when Animal Crossing was my most paid Switch game. And actually, I'm like, I definitely know why this happened. So.
Yeah, I always like those types of things. Like, you know, Nintendo does it. Sony does one too. Spotify does one for like your listening. I love getting those like recaps of. I know they're tracking everything we do, obviously.
But yeah, at least like you know, give me a little summary for fun.
Need to feed me back some of the information.
They always said I just like Spotify person because I don't listen to enough music, so I always go to check and it's like. Yeah, dude, listen to more music next year. I'm like, okay. And I've never fixed that problem. So screw you, Spotify. That's screw fair. You.
It's a really cool thing, though. I think if you have any interest in Xbox, it actually gives me hope that 6-part documentary they're going to put together actually ends up being pretty good. That's coming out at some point. All right, so that was Xbox. I guess we'll stick with that side of things. Games with Gold was announced. It's another.
Oh, was it?
It's another week month. The Escapist 2, Tropico 5 are the Xbox One, Xbox Series X games, and then the 360 games are Orcs Must Die, which is actually a pretty good game. An insanely twisted shadow planet, which I don't know what that one is.
I've heard of that before, but I don't remember. Yeah. Okay. And then I see those games that are rumored for PlayStation, and I'm like, it seems like they got in. They got us for a few years, and they're like, you know what? We don't have to try anymore.
Yeah. We had gotten a rumor about what might be the PlayStation Plus lineup earlier in the week. From somebody in our group chat, but this seems to be what people are running with. It's going to be Godfall, Mortal Shell, which I believe just hit Game Pass, and Lego DC Super Villains. The Lego games are fine, but this does not seem like a great lineup either. So, yeah. That stuff's out there, I guess. Other Xbox news. So there was an interview with, I don't remember exactly what site it was, but one of the designers of Xbox, and they said that achievements are at the forefront of kind of what they're going to be looking at in 2022 and going to be trying to see how they can revamp them. They were asked specifically about, PlayStation has the Platinum Trophy. Are you guys looking to have something comparable? And they said they're looking into all options on how to make achievements more engaging. But they'll have more details sometime next year. I think that's good. I think that the achievement system probably does need an overhaul.
Really?
I think that they need to find a way to incentivize it, because it's just kind of there now. It's not as special as it used to be, and ultimately your gamer score means nothing. Like,
I've been saying this since forever, but
right. But like, if you're gonna keep doing it, like, we'll give people a reason to, you know, hunt.
What if they break it though? What if they break it?
If they break it, that would be bad too. So.
Because to me, it's like, I know what it is. It's cool, and I don't know. I just don't mess with it.
I don't know how you fix it. Like, I don't think it's necessarily broken. But
yeah, I guess give me free games or like.
Yeah,
I mean that I think that would kind of work. But the thing is, they already give you free games with gold and.
Give me, you know, Microsoft cash, I can buy what I want.
I mean, in some ways, it is tied into Game Pass, the reward stuff. Now you do get it for certain achievements and stuff.
Yeah, true.
But no, I get to your point, because I think that was something that Nintendo had hinted at before with the Wii U, but the Wii U ended up being the Wii U. honestly, and I know this is not going to be something people want to hear. Is I do think they need to reset it with every system. Because I do think, personally speaking, I thought that it got to a point where there was a thrill in chasing your friends on a 360.
Yes.
But it got to a point where it's just kind of like the goals are so lopsided. And I know they do that stuff now where you can go on your Xbox and you can make, Chris got like 12,000 achievement points this month. You're like 900.
It's like a little leaderboard. Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like that's not the same as like the total number. Where it's like, okay, you know, this person's at, you know, 1090. I'm going to go to 1100. They're going to go to 1200. So I got to find a game to get. I mean, that's one of the reasons like Avatar on the Xbox 360 was so big, was that it was an easy 1000 achievement points. I mean, it's still one of the games people reference, and like there were games people actively avoided because it was like, oh, these are difficult achievements, or I won't be able to 100% this.
Yep.
Funny. I don't know what my gamer score is, but like Chris posted like what he did in 2020, like in terms of achievements. I'm like, that's probably a quarter of what I have lifetime. Like, Jesus Christ. What on earth were you guys doing last year?
Just playing games, evidently.
Like, holy shit.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, especially Chris and Tony, because they not only play games, but they also play it specifically kind of for, like, Game Pass stuff. So, like, they will install games to, like, okay, we got to get, like, 5 achievements in.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm trying to do that now. I installed Gang Beasts this week because I think you just have to play Gang Beasts to get
rewards. You just have points. To start that. But, yeah, there are games where it's, like, earn... Like, I reinstalled, and I think Tony, that's why Tony even tried Forza Horizon 4, was because it was, like, earn 3 achievements in Forza Horizon. So, like, I had reinstalled it. He installed it to try it to get the achievements for that rewards, the rewards points out of it.
And it's a great
hilarious.
Still,
you know what they should do? Here's how they should fix it. They should fix achievements. This is the only thing they should do to fix achievements, is stop giving Chris the weird numbers.
Yes, please. Jesus Christ, ban 6s and 7s and 8s and 9s. Anything that's not a 5 or a 0. I hate it.
It's so funny too, because I was looking at the website, and like there are like it's weird because like you can see like your achievements by year, but I didn't know how to go to. Like it only went back the last 4 years or so. You didn't know how to get it to break down more years.
Yeah,
but a lot of them are like even, and then like you get that the one where it's like it ends in 82, and I'm like, I hate that year so much. Thank you so much. Actually, I don't even know what my number is currently. My number is odd. It's 52,421. So, and here's the thing that bugs me though, because it's an odd number. My achievements, I've unlocked 2,300 achievements, which is just a perfectly even number, and I don't want to ruin that now.
Oh no! And if you play Halo, you're bound to unlock something, because like
you're correct. I already ruined that because I played Halo today and I got 2 achievements for. I got one for completing the challenge, and then I got one for killing somebody with a melee weapon with a blade. So basically a sword, or it wasn't a sword actually, though.
I have a 4 at the end of mine currently. And I blame that on Riders Republic, because that game is filled with 6 and 2-point achievements.
Oh, that is... Wait, what?
Yeah, so there's like 6... You get... Their points are... It's like 16 points and 32 points.
Those don't add up.
If you get 5 32 points, they do. And if you get what is it? If you get 5 16 points as well, it'll even out.
I am so why?
I don't know why. It makes zero sense to me. Why couldn't it just be 15 points? And then like your harder achievements that you're giving 70 points for, you could just be like, we'll give 75 points for these instead. But they just like to drive me nuts. All right. Epic bought Harmonix.
That was news too, because I think my brain saw that news and it was just like, does not process.
No.
Because, again, as I guess the teamed expert Fortnite player here, Fortnite has had several musical experiences this year alone. You had Ariana Grande, you've had Travis Scott.
Mm-hmm.
You've had some other people I don't care about. I mean, I don't care about those two, but like those are the two names that came to mind because they were also skins. And I actually like the musical experiences you go through, and you got to basically like this weird virtual concert dealio, and I'm like, okay, that was nifty. But it seems like they acquired Epic to kind of just expand on that idea. Because it seems like they will be supporting Fortnite.
Yeah. Yeah, in fact, that's what most of the team will be working on. Like, they're not stopping support for Rock Band 4. They'll be continuing to release DLC for that, as well as Fuser. But most of that, the Harmonix team will be working on Fortnite. Which is just so weird. but I don't know.
Yeah.
Rock Band 5 incoming to Epic at some point, I guess.
The Fortnite. I mean, it could be really fun to have the next Rock Band have a bunch of, like, virtual skins. or, like, have your Fortnite skins in the audience. Or whatever. I don't know. It's the great...
I don't hate that idea, Earl.
No, either. That's why I hate it. It's like, oh, it seems really cool, but this is just like, again, it's not like Harmonix was making a ton of games, but it's just like the great consolidation of the gaming industry. Like, you know, like we've had with Activision, where like all their studios are not working on Call of Duty. Now we have Epic buying studios to work on Fortnite. You're just gonna, you know, at some point you're gonna have like 10 big games and everybody's supporting them in some fashion.
It'll be Halo, Call of Duty, Fortnite, Rainbow Six Vegas, and Counter-Strike Go.
Is Counter-Strike Go still a thing?
Counter-Strike is a big game. We don't play it. We don't talk about it, but. People really are into Counter-Strike. And then what are those? What, League of Legends and Dota? They'll be the other two.
And at some point, Activision will announce that Overwatch 2 has been delayed a few more years so they can continue supporting Overwatch 1.
Okay. Overwatch 2 has been delayed indefinitely, and... they're consolidating that team in to make Call of Duty 44. And you can have Tracer in Call of Duty. I don't know if this was announced at Amazon, but I thought I saw it with Amazon, but it could have just been in relation to something else. But Mass Effect... What was that, Earl?
Oh, I was going to say it's in relationship to the Wheel of Time and how well it was doing.
Yes.
I think Deadline was the one who posted that, since, you know, like, kind of like in passing, that Wheel of Time was doing well in Amazon's Double Down Genre TV, and that's where the Mass Effect TV show came from.
Yes, so Mass Effect's getting a TV show. Yay.
So because I've seen a lot of people like, Mass Effect is great for TV, and part of me is like, I get it, because like we have Star Trek and Battlestar Galactica. Yes, and there was a Farscape show, right?
Farscape was a show, yep.
Yes, and Babylon 5, we had the Orville. We've had shows about people on a spaceship doing wild and crazy missions. That part's not an issue. It's that, like, to me, the big part of Mass Effect has always been kind of the user-generated decision-making. As nebulous as that can be, and as, like, you know, nonsensical as it really is. But I'm like, yeah, like, you take that away from it, and it becomes any one of those shows. Like, there's nothing inherently unique about Mass Effect.
Yeah, when I heard this, of like, so they're making Star Trek with a little more action? Like, because that's...
What if you make it... They could make it like that? Possible to do that?
Sure. I didn't read up too much on it, but like,
there's not much known on it aside from like it's in like Amazon.
It won't be that, but you know, people have tried at that. In fact, there's been like articles, like news stories about Netflix. I think actually Netflix did put a movie out like that where it was choose your own adventure style.
Oh yeah, the Bandersnatch.
Yes. I think even another one than that, maybe.
They did another one recently.
I forgot about that one completely.
They did another one recently, which is like the Undertaker's Haunted Mansion thing.
Okay.
The WWE.
Oh, okay. I always picture, like, any experiments in that has always been pretty much bad, but it's possible. It's a thing you could do. Just saying. I totally forgot about Bandersnatch. Holy shit.
That was the first big one, right?
I can't believe you snatched that up out of your memory, though. Like,
I still never watched it.
I remember reading about one that was recent. Yeah, or one that was coming out like that.
The only other one I could think of was the Undertaker New Day thing.
I mean, there. I think there's a whole category on Netflix. Like, I think they have been creating these, but I don't think they've gotten the traction that the Undertaker one that Earl just mentioned or Bandersnatch have. I don't know. Mass Effect's weird because it's your Shepard. It's like, as Earl said, it's always kind of been related to decisions you make, whether, how ridiculous they are or not, and how much they don't really make a difference on the world. But, this is weird. Maybe if it just takes place in the Mass Effect world, but at that point, then it really is just Babylon 5 or, Deep Space Nine or something like that for Star Trek. So we'll see.
And the other thing, which I guess isn't important, but it is to some people, is who's your main character? Because I think you're going to have just as many people who want Femme Shep as they want Shepard.
Right.
You do a whole different crew.
I think the only way you could actually make this good is not make it choose your own adventure and do your own thing.
Do
something different.
Shepard, not Garrus, not Rex.
Use the races that are in, that universe and some of the lore of that universe and just do your own thing. Do whatever. Just tell any story you want to within that mold.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, it's just watered down Star Trek, but I guess you could have sex in it, so.
Yeah,
that needs to be in it.
I don't know. It's to me, unless this is raved about, I'm probably not gonna watch it. I don't know.
Might be one I give a shot to.
Yeah, I think I would check. I mean, I honestly speaking, we talk about Star Trek and Farscape and Babylon, but at the end of the day, you attach a popular IP to it, and people get vested in it. I mean, it's the same way that we're somehow gonna give Resident Evil a shot at a TV show. Even though nobody's the first six movies, the four animated movies, the animated show Netflix had, and apparently this new movie's not doing too great either, but we're this TV show, maybe it has something going for it that we don't know yet.
I will totally see that new movie someday.
Yeah?
I might see it on Friday. I got nothing planned.
I'm just thinking about it.
I've only seen the first Resident Evil movie, so that's my level of investment, and I kind of want to see this new one. I don't care what anyone says, I want to see the new one.
My level of investment is I've seen half of the anime movies and all of the live action ones.
Yeah, I know, you're into them, so. But this one again, bullshit even. It's just neat to me that they're actually trying to do what the games were, kind of.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what it turns out, and maybe Earl and I will have a review of the movie next week. All right. They showed off Spider-Man and the Avengers. Remember that was going to happen, right?
No.
There was a big uproar before the Avengers came out last year because Spider-Man was coming, but only to PlayStation. Well, they showed him in action in Marvel's The Avengers.
And I was as an Xbox fan, I'm like, I don't think we missed out here.
Yeah, I'm all right.
It's not even so much that it's Spider-Man in the game, which is whatever. It's you have Spider-Man in the Marvel Spider-Man and Spider-Man Miles Morales, and it's that's the Spider-Man you need. The agile, quick-witted Spider-Man and not, whatever that thing is. It's he's so slow, and I hate to fat shame, but he's kind of chubby.
Yeah, he's he's chunky Spider-Man.
I guess they wanted the Peter B. Parker from Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, I was going to say,
And again, nothing wrong with that. It's just very funny. That's the design they went with. And you would think after all this time. But, yeah. It was very fascinating to see.
And I guess it was also announced that unlike Hawkeye or Black Panther, who got like they got story missions attached to their character releases, Spider-Man is just dropping as a character that you can play as. So there's no additional content in the game, which on some level makes sense. But I think that's what kind of what people were hoping for is like, oh, there's going to be special Spider-Man missions that I can play. And they're really just like, they really just put Spider-Man into the game, which is all they said they were going to do. But
yeah, and I mean, it kind of, it's actually, it makes sense that if you want, if you, I mean, it's the way you do it where you don't want the two games to be too radically different.
Yeah.
But it kind of sucks if you that was like your decision. I mean, let me not say anything because I don't say it sucks if that was your decision making. But honestly, if your decision making was you bought this game, you're already off. So,
yes,
I really feel bad that I beat up on this game anytime you bring it up. But
I do think that people that like you know they were excited for the game coming out and they made a decision on which console they'd buy it on. Or where they'd buy it, period. Like whether they buy it against PC or Xbox or PlayStation, they may have based it on the fact that, well, if I buy it on the PlayStation 4, I'll get to play Spider-Man. And yeah, you're going to play Spider-Man. It's not the Spider-Man that you likely wanted. All right, final piece of news. Rockstar released an apology for their recent release of the GTA trilogy. They are restoring the old versions of the game to their launcher, which they had removed from purchase. So you can repurchase those old games for PC. And they have promised to fix the issues that are going on. I haven't seen too many issues, Jeff. Now, evidently, the one that got the worst go on it was San Andreas.
Yeah.
Which is the one that I haven't played at all yet. But
I mean, you could call the character model differences an issue. I don't care. But I think the rain in
the rain's GTA 3 bad. Yeah.
Needs to be fixed. I think that they need to add checkpoints to missions in all the games, not just one of them. Like, that seems half-assed to me. Like, don't tell me you can only do it in San Andreas. Figure it out, dude. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I saw you finish GTA 3, which I stopped at the mission when you had to drive out into the water and shoot the plane down and collect the money or whatever the fuck the plane drops. Like,
yep.
And that was after several super annoying missions. Like, I'm sure you played through Grand Theft Auto then. Where it was like you have to drive out to the airport, and then the plane doesn't have the fucking thing in it.
You have to drive back. You have to
go do the other thing. Yeah. Like, dude. I don't know about you. I stopped.
But I beat it, so. But there is a mission, it's about 3 before the end, where Asuka comes back in. I think that's her name. She's the quest giver for the second island.
Yeah.
She comes back in at the end and she becomes a quest giver again. And she has you, go and take out these coffee stands around the city.
Except I like that one.
They don't show up on your map. Like
that one was, fun to me.
It's fun, but it's one of those ones that gets super frustrating because if you don't
have a map,
yeah. If you don't know where they're at, like, you could end up driving around, and you only have 8 minutes to do it in.
I mean, I lost the first time, and I almost did it the second time, and then I was just like, I want to see how many there are per island and all that, and where they are. Like, once you see it on a map, it's like, you'll do
it. Oh, yeah, yeah. I looked up a video guide and, like, showed, like, the quickest way to like do it and kind of gave me an idea of where they are. Cause they don't show up unless you're close enough.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, there's two on
the original sides and three or five in the middle.
Yeah. And then two on the other ones. Yeah. So it was like, all right, now that I know I could do it, but that one was super frustrating. I failed that multiple times until I looked it up.
felt that multiple times, but I found that nowhere near as frustrating as Grand Theft Auto. Like, did you make it through Grand Theft Auto on your first try?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really? Going to that site, you didn't get fucking hit by somebody?
Well,
like,
so you had already told me about it.
Oh, so you're like, yeah, I know.
So I knew to just pull out my sniper rifle and snipe them from far away. Otherwise, but I probably would have gotten, like, demolished.
It's just, even then, the controls and everything are so wonky that I'm, like, ultra nervous going through that mission. Like, I'm just like, alright.
The sniper rifle is so, because, like, everything else kind of, you can do lock-on. Lock-on's kind of garbagey.
I turn it off.
But at least you can, like, pick an enemy and, like, it'll highlight and, like, you know you're shooting at that enemy. With the sniper rifle, it's all, like, free aim, and the controls are so loose that it is rough to kind of, like, zoom in on somebody and hold it from a distance.
Did you have any troubles with the one where you have to shoot the plane down over the water?
No, that one was weirdly easy enough. Like, I got right up on the plane, though. So as it was dropping stuff out, I was like, it was basically just dropping into my boat. It's like I was
every time for me, I couldn't get it till it was like right there. But like one time, it like one pack of the money landed all the way at the top, and I ran up there, and then there was like police helicopters and shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then another time, like one just like landed like right up against the wall and the water, so that like when I drove past it, my boat like bumped off the wall and just missed the money pack. And I'm like, and then the boat moved so slow, I was like trying to back up and like just touch the money to get it, you know. And I got fucking blown up by the fucking police copter again. And I'm like, you know what, dude? Like, I hate this. I hate this so much. I haven't touched it since.
And then the final mission is just infuriating.
Yeah, so I'm good. I'm gonna walk away from the whole thing and go back to like Vice City in a couple months, probably.
Like I now it was probably more frustrating when I played it originally on the PlayStation 2, because that didn't even have the checkpoints that this one has. This at least, like, if you fail the mission, is like, hey, do you want to start back again?
Start from the cutscene that starts the mission.
Exactly. So. Yeah. And you start...
Sometimes, not close enough. It's like, I'm sorry. It's
yeah,
like...
they're still really long, but it's better than like, oh, you died, we're going to take all your...
across the map and...
We're going to take all of your equipment, and we're going to respawn you at the hospital, and now you have to go all the way across the map, you have to get back to the location, watch the cutscene again, which thankfully you can skip. And then start the mission. And, like, that final mission is long. And... when you get to the final place, they take all your weapons, which pissed me off because I spent a bunch of money like building up my arsenal. All right, this is it. Final mission, ready to go. I go in there full arsenal and they take everything. $200,000 gone.
That's horseshit.
Yeah. And then like you're basically like you have to pick up like an SMG, and then you're picking up weapons along the way. And I, like, got by, like, by a sliver. I hit it with the final rocket I had and got lucky and shot it down with the, like, the AK-47 at the end. Otherwise, that one, like, that was the, was, like, almost dead, nearing not being able to finish that. So, but I'm glad that I finally finished GTA 3. I will likely never play through that game again, but. It was a fun revisit.
I came very close. I have 5 missions left, and I think I might leave that way. Because I enjoyed, like, up until then, like, it was like I was explaining last week, it's like, you start to see the cracks in the gameplay there.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, once those missions start getting more complicated,
it's... chaos isn't as fun anymore. It's like, right. Oh, it ruins it for you at the end of a mission. You die. It's like, okay.
Yeah, and it's just frustrating. It's not fun.
Yeah.
And we talked last week, like, it's amazing just jumping from that to Vice City, like, how they've cleaned up some of the mission structure already. Some of that stuff still gets annoying and is
pain. Came out less than a year later, too.
Yeah. And then...
like, how on earth?
And then they go even bigger with San Andreas, with mixed results, I think, but that game is also phenomenal.
Yeah.
They just overload it with everything they ever thought. So you get like RC car missions that are in the main story instead of just side missions. And some of that stuff isn't great, but like the map is huge. And so I don't really care if the character models are fucked. Like, who cares?
Like, yeah, they the look bad still to begin fun. With.
Can I drive around and listen to the radio? And it'll be so nice going into Vice City and San Andreas and having more than like 8 songs.
Yeah.
Which all that stuff was licensed too. Like, it's just
yeah.
That in 3, like that music was licensed. It was just like more independent artists and stuff.
Some of it, yeah.
But yeah, so they apologized, and I guess if you're on PC, which they had removed, you couldn't even purchase it, and they weren't offering refunds. So that should be getting repaired. I guess if you're on consoles, there's not much.
You're shit out of luck, yes.
Yeah, but I haven't had any problems with it yet, and they are patching it. So by the time I get to the one that seems most broken by people's reports... it should be fixed by then. I hope.
All this has inspired me to buy Saints Row 3, the remastered version or whatever.
Yeah, me too.
You bought it?
Yeah.
Yeah. When will I get to it? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
I've bought a lot of games lately like that are like $11, $12. I'm just like, I'm buying this. I don't know when I'm fitting this in, but I'm going to. Since, I like to play the games I buy. I'm not like one of these people that like backlog games like crazy, but that's got a little bad.
Does not thank what you're saying to us.
it's that time of year though.
Yeah.
Like, everything's on sale for really cheap. And like that's a game that has been, I think it's been $40 since it came out. Like it's gone on sale a couple times, but not to this point.
It's like a legit remaster, I think.
Yeah.
And I can't even remember playing 3, really, to be honest.
Three is good.
First two were like the ones for me, but
3 does get a little bit crazy. I think at one point it's not as crazy as 4, where you're a literal superhero.
3 gets crazy. 3 crazy gets is the ending of the game. 4 starts where 3 ends. It already. Yeah.
I played the beginning of 4 and it was too wacky almost or whatever. It was just too It wasn't the open world GTA type game at all anymore. Like,
I love 4, but it is nutty.
I dislike 4 because I think I guess for me I enjoyed the gradual insanity ramping that 2 to 3 does. Because like I said, by the end of 3, you have superpowers and you're going into space and stuff like that. And 4 kind of starts from that position. And because you start there, there's really nowhere to go.
Yeah, it's like that's where you want to end the game. Like, I don't know.
You can fly in 4.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe one day. I do own that on like PS4, I think, but whatever. Also, totally, not related, but another game on sale I bought was Astral Chain for like $27, which I don't think it's ever been that low. Has anyone played that game?
I have.
And?
I enjoy it. Okay. It's one of the better Platinum games to me. I think it is one that, how do I say this without... I enjoy Platinum games. I like Wonderful 101, I like Bayonetta and stuff like that. I think it's one of the ones that's probably most kind of approachable, just generically, and that it's a very straightforward action game with a big hook being that you get to chain these monsters that you can use in attack, but it's not necessarily like Wonderful 101. You have all these different characters and you have to draw shapes. Again, I'm a fan of, but I know that was not something a lot of people enjoyed, and Bayonetta is so much about the dodge mechanic, where I know a lot of people don't necessarily have that instant instincts to kind of dodge off, which activate which time. This one, I think, does a good job of that.
By the way, Wonderful 101 is on sale, too, still, I think. I think it has been.
I mean, I will just say this. I mean, the Switch games on sale, it does not serve any purpose, I would say, to get them all, because I think it's Breath of the Wild, it's, like you said, Astral Chain, It is Super Mario Brothers Deluxe, Kirby's All Star, which is the one I picked up. This is the only one I didn't have. Xenoblade, which I'm tempted to get, even though I already have the actual physical special edition. And these are both physical and digital, which I think is a big deal for. I mean, especially for somebody like me who collects, who prefers digital. Mario Kart Live, if you're into it, like I said, that actually has an update where you can use two cards on one system. I think Amazon or GameStop has it for like $50 right now. So good price. I think I don't have kids, but I might get one for my nephew. I think it's a really fun way to use Mario Kart, and if you have the space for it, I think it's
an nifty way. That's a great idea. Thank you. I just got to ask if they have that.
Yeah, I think it's a great get for kids. And again, like I said, now that you can do two-on-one system, you don't have to worry about like having to buy two different Switches for people. I forget what else is on sale. I think, not Pikmin, wow. But yes, I think, like I said, Kirby was the one I got. Breath of the Wild, I think if you don't have Breath of the Wild and you have a Switch, that is impressive. And then there's games like Age of Calamity is on sale, which is, you know, I know not everybody's a fan. Like you said, you have, you've got Astral Chain. So yeah, some good stuff out there.
Yep.
And again, I'm sorry. And if you have not played it, Paper Mario Origami King. And I think it gets lumped in with the rest of them. But New Super Mario Brothers U is actually a really fantastic 2D Mario platformer.
Yes, New Super Mario Brothers U is phenomenal. All right. Well, enjoy your Thanksgivings. If you're listening to this, that has happened. I hope you had a good one. Enjoy Black Friday. Buy all those games. Capitalism, all that. Yay.
Hey, if they're still on sale, because again, Black Friday now starts like the week before, and stuff has sold out as of this Wednesday. I'm always impressed with digital codes sold out. So
that's nuts. I'm hoping that I will get that sale for a cruising for $20-$25 physical on Black Friday. Just waiting to see if maybe Amazon drops it. But so we'll be back next week. Tony, if we pay his ransom, exactly. But if we do, he'll talk about Battlefield, so maybe we don't pay the ransom. And we'll have all the games that we bought that we didn't need to buy, because we already had too many games, but we'll have that to talk about next week. And maybe Resident Evil, the movie. Welcome to Raccoon City? Is that what it's called?
It's Welcome to Raccoon City.
Terrible name. We might have a review of that as well.
Oh, and not necessarily video game related, but somewhat video game related, which I will probably check out because it's on HBO Max, but 8-Bit Christmas, because it's a Christmas movie all about acquiring a Nintendo Entertainment System in
that
the 80s.
Sounds fun. Yeah, I might check that one out too. And it will officially be Christmas season as of Friday. I mean, so
yeah, as I say, it's out today as of this recording. I'm like, I'm saving it till Friday. I can wait 2 days. I'm like, I'm really curious to check it out.
All right, so maybe two movie reviews. It'll make Tony increasingly nuts. two movie reviews next week on video game movies.
Oh, wait, sorry. Oh, crap. I know we're wrapping up. No, I was going to say a third one, but the part of the news this week was the producers of the Mario Brothers movie says that Mario won't have an Italian accent in the movie. And that has been a big thing for people.
I mean, they hired Chris Pratt for it.
Yeah, it's a kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because like, if he did an Italian accent, he's not Italian. A lot of people would have been upset with that.
Exactly. Why is he doing that?
And also, it sounds like the Mario voice. Like, if he just mimicked that, that would sound weird and full dialogue. Like,
yeah, I think we had that.
You're not saying woohoo! Like, you're like trying to say a full sentence.
It's also, I was never a fan of Charles Martinet being Mario. It's like that is not something that sustains a whole 90-minute movie.
Like, he says like one or two word catchphrases, like that works for that, but like, you couldn't have that. Like, to me, that voice would be weird, stretched out to full dialogue at all. Like, even a full sentence, be like, okay.
Just imagining like an entire movie where that's all it is like
it's his, a
like,
me,
right? But like only like occasionally, like the rest of the time he's just mute, like he is in the game. It's like Mario doesn't really talk. He doesn't have any actual dialogue.
Mario's Willy's Wonderland.
Yeah. Yeah. Like everybody else around him talks.
I would watch that Mario movie.
That's next year, right?
Yes, that is next, around this time next year.
All right. Well, we'll be back next week. Have a lovely holiday, everyone. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.